ऐसे ही भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जाय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट 34 35 एंड 36 34 does not have a purport. Read translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, "Dear King, it is Boar incarnation who accepts all sacrificial offerings lives in the northern part of Jambudvipa. There, in the tract of land known as Uttarakuru Varsha, Mother Earth and all other inhabitants worship him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishad mantra. And then the next is the mantra in prose translation. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you as the gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. You are yajna, sacrifice, and you are the kratu, the ritual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body, and you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Tri Yuga because in Kali Yuga, you appeared as a concealed incarnation, and because you always fully possess the three pairs of opulences." Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation for this age of Kali, as confirmed in many places throughout the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Upanishads. The summary of his appearance is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 6. Verse 99 as follows. कलियुगे लीलावतार ना करे भगवान, अतएव त्रियुग करी कहि तार नाम। इन दिस एज ऑफ कलि, द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड भगवान डज नॉट अपियर एज अ लीलावतार, एन इनकार्नेशन टू डिस्प्ले पास्ट टाइम्स। Therefore, he is known as Triyuga. Unlike other incarnations, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this age of Kali as a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he is called a concealed incarnation, Channa Avatara. Text 36. By manipulating a fire-generating stick, great saints and sages can bring forth the fire lying dormant within wood. In the same way, O Lord, those expert in understanding the absolute truth try to see you in everything, even in their own bodies. Yet you remain concealed. You are not to be understood by indirect processes involving mental or physical activities. Because you are self-manifested only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you, do you reveal yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. The word kriyarthe means, quote, by performing ritualistic ceremonies to satisfy the demigods. The word vipashchitaha is explained in the Taittiriya Upanishad as follows. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma, yo veda nihitam guhayam, parame vyomam, so shnute sarvan kaman saha brahmana vipaschaiti iti. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 text 19, bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. When one understands that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart and actually sees the Lord present everywhere, he has perfect knowledge. The word jatavedaha means fire which is produced by rubbing wood. In Vedic times, learned sages could bring forth fire from wood. Jataveda also indicates the fire in the stomach, which digests everything we eat and which produces an appetite. The word gudha is explained in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Eko deva sarvabhuteshu gudha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood by chanting the Vedic mantras. Sarvavyapi sarvabhutantaratma. He is all-pervading and he is within the heart of all living entities. Karmadhyakshaha sarvabhutadivasaha. He witnesses all activities of the living entity. Sakshi cheta kevalo nirgunascha. The Supreme Lord is the witness as well as the living force, yet he is transcendental to all material qualities. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. First of all, it's very, very nice to be back with all of you. I feel like a person who's traversed the desert and has come to an oasis where there is water, there is life. And staying away or not having association of the devotees is the biggest punishment that one could ever get. I'm a little unprepared because I was not expecting to give class, so please bear with me. Jambudvipa, for all practical purposes, is the planet Earth. Some people say Jambudvipa is South Central Asia, but different acharyas have different ways of explaining it. So in most cases we do consider that to be planet Earth. And therefore, the presiding deity is Bhumi Devi. So she and her followers, they offer prayers to Lord Varaha. Varaha Dev and Bhumi Devi have a very specific pastime together. When Hiranyaksha was born, and he and his brother, they had a God project plan. They had decided that there is no need for God, that these two are the supreme reigning personalities. And so Hiranyaksha had the audacity to take Bhumi Devi, or we say Bhu Mandala, if you will, and plunge it into the Garbha ocean, the causal ocean. There is a reason why this is significant. We hear from Bhagavad Gita, A Brahma Bhuvanal Loka Punar Avartino Arjuna. This Punar Avartina means that regardless of what a conditioned living entity does, whether pious activities or impious, let's consider pious because impious is sort of the norm. After performing good deeds on this planet, that soul gets another body in the higher realms, which we call the heavenly realms, for a duration that is in concert with or tantamount to or equal to the amount of piety this soul has accumulated. So they get to stay on the heavenly planets and enjoy thoroughly uninhibited sensual enjoyment, long life, no diseases, no worries. They can have a progeny any way they want. They can look at someone. They can do all sorts of things and have a really good time. And when those pious credits are exhausted by that lifestyle and that life on heavenly realm, they have to come back to planet Earth and take birth again. So the earthly realm is a significant realm where a person generates his or her own karma. In all of the planetary systems, a person exhausts their karmic credits, if you will. So often it is said that it's like a person works very hard during the year, earns money, earns the right to vacation, and then goes on vacation. And the vacation is not eternal. For most persons it's 2 weeks, maybe three, whatever. And after as they're enjoying their vacation, something is ticking, the clock's ticking. And when 2 week period is over, they have to come back to Chicago and go back to work, earn their credits for the next vacation. It's like that, in one sense. So when Hiranyaksha plunges the Bhumandala into the causal ocean, it is very significant because this Karma Bhumi is not available for the conditioned living entities. And it causes a disruption in the natural karmic cycle or evolution, if you will. So Varaha has to appear. It's a very significant situation. And he lifts Mother Earth or Bhumandala back and places Bhumi Devi or Bhumi into its right orbit. So naturally, out of gratitude, they are offering their prayers. One of the expressions is they call the Lord Triyuga. Hare Krishna, nice to see you. Call him Triyuga. Triyuga has at least two connotations in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. One is that the Lord does not appear in Kali Yuga to exhibit his godhood. He appears in a hidden form. Channa avatara. Channa means hidden. The reason is, there are very wonderful reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. One significant reason, among other very transcendental and quite esoteric reasons, one reason is to be able to propagate the Harinam Sankirtan process. To do it is to show by example. So instead of appearing as God and telling everyone, you should do like this, he appears as a devotee to say, let's do it like this. And as his setting of example, Allah also allows for him to access all sorts of people very easily. Generally, accessing Krishna or God is not that easy. Sri Yamunacharya describes that Lord Ramachandra is very compassionate because he traversed through the forests and met all sorts of persons. Guha, who was a forest dweller and a boatman, gave him his mercy, who otherwise would have no access to Lord Ramachandra sitting in a palace. He gave his association to Jatayu. He gave his association to the monkeys, the bears, all sorts of living entities. Because he came out. And he says that even greater in terms of compassion than Lord Ramachandra is Lord Krishna. In the form of Krishna, he made himself accessible even from a very, very young age. Lord Ramachandra, when he was a prince, he remained within the confines of Ayodhya, the palaces. But Krishna, even from the very beginning of his appearance, allowed himself to be accessed by anyone and everyone, including Putana. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered Mahavadanyaya for one more reason, that he hides his godhood and makes himself very, very accessible to anyone and everyone, especially in Kali Yuga. So he's called Channa Avatara, hidden. Another understanding of the word Triyuga is, we've heard many times Srila Prabhupada explain that Krishna is full of six opulences. And these six opulences are, we could call them as three pairs of opulences. So Triyuga, Yuga also means combined. So Krishna and Radha and Krishna are called Yugala Murti. So Triyuga means three pairs of opulences. So they're glorifying Varahadev as Triyuga, and they're offering these prayers from the Upanishads. So therefore their prayers are considered bona fide. It's not whimsical, it's not made up. Generally when prayers are made up, especially without proper realization or maturity, that prayer ends up being a long list of how Krishna can serve us. This is basically, it's coming to God and telling him, Here's all the ways of things I would like you to do for me. So it's not proper. Or the Siddhanta may not be proper. The understanding, conclusions about who God is may not be proper. Or they may mix up moods, which is also not proper. Generally, dasya is the beginning mood. But many people come to Krishna and they say, you're my best friend, you've helped me get a lot of money. Or however, the mood gets distorted. So it's important to offer prayers with proper understanding. And here Bhumidevi, who is a very exalted personality, the Lord appeared many times. Every time there is problem on the earthly realm, Krishna appears. Appeared as Varaha, will appear as Kalki, appeared as Lord Krishna, of course, when Bhumidevi went to Lord Brahma and petitioned that I'm in a lot of difficulty, there's a lot of demonic personalities who are plundering the resources, not allowing for the Vedic processes to continue. Therefore, he's called, the reason we say sacrifices and these things are important, because through Vedic sacrifices, one generates higher order karma. Of course, this is the path of what we call dharma, artha, kama, moksha. It's a valid process. It's not recommended that we follow that as students of Srimad Bhagavatam particularly. But it's a valid process. And without the earthly realm, one cannot perform Vedic sacrifices. So it's very important. So Krishna appears again and again. Dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In verse 36, they offer prayers in nice words, and Prabhupada's explaining different phrases of what they mean. Prabhupada explains this kriya arthe. Kriya arthe means for the sake of performing ritualistic ceremonies. Without a Vedic ritualistic paradigm, a human being's life does not have what we call order. It does not have discipline. It does not have purpose. Therefore, in Vedic system, because it is purpose driven, we will see that everyone has some semblance of understanding of what is their purpose in the broader fabric of society. The Shudras know, the Vaishyas know, the Kshatriyas know, the Brahmanas know, the women know, etc. And each of them has their place and function within the broader fabric. And with that provides a discipline for their lifestyle. Like the Brahmanas would wake up early, chant mantras, take bath, light the sacrificial fire, etc. Study the Vedas. And Krishna, he appears again and again to facilitate such a lifestyle. Or to be more general, to foster dharmic principles. Dharma sansthapanarthaya. Glorifying him as Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. From the Upanishads, because they are called Vipashchita. Vipashchita means one who can see. Now we can all see. Everyone who has two eyes can see, but this is not that kind of seeing. Vipashchita means that they are what we call Jnana Chakshu or Shastra Chakshu. They see on the basis of scripture. They understand how things are operating on the basis of scriptural perspective. not their own perspective. Generally, when a person tries to understand something on their own perspective, they get an erroneous or an incomplete picture because of faulty senses and existing misconceptions about life, about happiness, about reality, etc. So, armed with misconceptions and faulty senses, a person's understanding of a situation will naturally be either erroneous or incomplete. So, Vipashchita is a personality who has gone beyond those frailties and understands things from the basis of, on the basis of scripture, for example. When a person is dealing with a conditioned perspective, they see bodily differences. This person is white, this person's black, this person is good looking, this person's not good looking, this is a woman, this is her, however. Oh, these are my countrymen, these are my countrymen, etc. But one who has transcendental knowledge sees the soul within the body. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichai vasvapakecha pandita samadarshana. That is Vipashchita. And this Vipashchita quality is developed when one is actually pursuing what we call Atmatattva. Atmatattva means one who's pursuing to know what is the soul and how to live as the soul proper, beyond the bodily limitations or encumbrances. Such a person becomes Vipashchita. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami actually says it very nicely. Shotavyadini Rajan Nirnam Santi Sahasrasaha Apashyatam Atmatattvan Griheshu Grihamedina. But there are many, many topics that can be heard. Hundreds and hundreds of topics, which according to Shukadeva Goswami, they're all useless. We call them Gramya Katha. Gramya Katha means unnecessary topics about others and the situations of the world that have actually no impact on the soul. So the whole idea of newspapers, news, TV channels, hundreds and hundreds of them, political analysis. I just came back from India, so I have to, be subjected to that in some shape or form. Every news channel has some perspective on what is happening on the political scene, and they have to give their analysis, how they understand what exactly is going on. At the end of the day, it has no meaning or bearing on what is actually the soul and what's the existence of the soul in relation to all of this. It's useless. So Shukadeva Goswami says, Shrotavyadini Rajan. Shrotavyadini means that which is worth hearing, or that which is the subject of hearing. Nirnam Santi Sahasrasaha. Sahasrasaha means thousands. There are many thousands of topics that people want to discuss. Apashyatam Atmatattvam. But in all of this, they don't understand Atmatattva. Why? Griheshu Grihamedhina. They're very only interested in how to make their life comfortable sensually. That's it. Settle down and enjoy. In the Mukundamala Stotra, King Kulashekara, he offers up a verse. He says, it's very surprising that people knowingly drink the poison of unnecessary subject matter, when they have all opportunity to drink the elixir of Krishna's holy name. That means there are so many other unnecessary things that people dwell into, or delve into, that distracts them from the path of Atmatat. Or in this case, from dharmic principle, if you will. So unless one becomes vipaschita, one doesn't have a way out. And one of the ways, or the recommended way of becoming a vipaschita, is to follow a vipaschita. Satovritte is what we say. And when we follow them, we gain the same vision as they have. Then Krishna's Varahadev is glorified as Jataveda. When you recite Vedic mantras, there are many times where this phrase Jataveda keeps coming up. And so Prabhupada describes Jataveda as the fire which is produced by rubbing wood. This fire is actually hidden. You cannot get fire out of wood unless there is something that brings that fire out. So in the Vedic system, the Brahmanas would take two sticks and as they are reciting mantra, strike that wood and it would catch fire. Try now, it won't work. In fact, try even with a matchstick and it doesn't work. So you have to have a pilot in your fire yagya called camphor balls. And generally if you're performing Vedic yagya sacrifices, you always put extra camphor just in case the fire doesn't light up enough. The Brahmanas had the potency to extract that fire. The reason Jataveda is described, or as the another meaning of Jataveda, is the fire of digestions, that is digestion, that is hidden within the stomach. And it allows for appetite to grow. And without appetite, we cannot survive. And that fire allows for the sustenance of the body and mind so that the Vedic dharmic principles can be followed. So Krishna is very, I guess, supportive and participative, and is described here that this fire remains hidden. And so Krishna is like that. The reality of Krishna remains hidden. And the only way that it gets revealed is when Krishna reveals himself. There is no other way. One can talk and talk and talk and have discussions for unlimited hours on whether the God exists or not, etc. Yet Krishna will not reveal himself. Unless those discussions are meant for the purpose of becoming more inquisitive about Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaja says, Matirna Krishna Bharata Svatova Mitha Abhipadyeta. Mitha Abhipadyeta means discussions. Still, one will not know anything about God. Unless those discussions are meant for enhancing one's sense of inquiry or inquisitiveness about one's relationship with Krishna. So when Krishna sees that sincerity of purpose, then he reveals himself in proportion to that sincerity. That's the only way to know Krishna. So then it becomes, the onus lies on us as aspiring spiritualists to check on ourselves as to how much is my inquisitiveness to know Krishna. How sincere am I in my purpose as to why I'm here, what I'm doing, what I'm Why am I doing what I'm doing? And it's quite easy to lose track of that purpose, because the tendency is to fall into a mechanical way of living, if you will. And so when that sincerity is kept burning or nice and robust, then Krishna reveals himself in different ways. The most potent way that is useful for us is Krishna reveals himself in different realizations that we get about him, about ourselves, about this, the way the modes of nature are acting on us or others or the circumstances. I recently heard a very nice seminar by His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj. And true to his style of seminar, he had picked different topics. And he got the group totally riled up about certain topics. And then there was like, how do you get to learn the news without actually reading a newspaper? That was the discussion point. So he said, let's pick any topic. Someone said the World Cup soccer. Apparently at that time, World Cup soccer was happening and everyone was focused on soccer. And so different people gave perspectives on what the news about soccer should look like and what it really means. And then his point was, he was training the audience that try to look at everything from the Bhagavad Gita's perspective. And let's talk about soccer from Bhagavad Gita's perspective, what it really means, or how to understand it. So someone said, oh, it's about competition, a competitive spirit. It's where the mode of passion is very active. Oh, so what does Krishna say about the mode of passion? So there was some discussion about it. Someone said, how about thinking about the ball? What does it feel like to be kicked from one place to another place, one place to another place? This is how Maya kicks us from one planetary level to another. So very nice, from the perspective of the ball, etc. And or, you know, fools or audience, sorry, cheering the players, and they're all getting riled up. So he made a nice statement, which I mean, where I'm getting at is, he said pretty much, anything that's happening in the world, anything that's happening, you can appreciate it from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita's perspective. He said, there's so much hidden in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita that as you study that, you can see the world from that perspective. And it's a very nice realization. So I spent one whole week reading the newspaper every day in the morning to appreciate chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, I didn't have the patience to read the analysis. It was too much for me. But the headlines, you know, something happening here. Which verse from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, can help us understand that particular circumstance about someone dying in a blast or a earthquake this or that? And, yeah. Someone born with certain qualities, or they remember something from their previous life. It was Jatasihi Dhruva Mrityam. It was a really nice experience. Of course, I couldn't tolerate newspaper beyond that, but it was nice. It inspired me to recite the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 every day. So it helps develop the sense of what does the world look like from the perspective of scripture. That is called real vision. Until that vision comes, even if a person has two eyes, they're considered blind. Because they see the world, either don't see anything at all, or they see it wrongly. Therefore we start with Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Is the Guru opens our eyes or gives us the vision to look at the world the way it is meant to be looked at. And this the residents of Jambudvipa are praying to Varahadev as Gudha. Gudha means hidden. It's not, he's there, but he's hidden. So here Prabhupada writes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood by chanting the Vedic mantras. For us, the mantra, that is the greatest of all mantras, or it's the mother of all mantras, if you will, is the Hare Krishna mantra. Because within that Hare Krishna mantra, everything else, all other mantras, are the purpose of all other mantras is already there. So as we chant Hare Krishna mantra every day, with how much ever sincerity that we can draw on, to that degree, Krishna reveals himself from the Gudha or hidden state to the visible state. So he describes that the Vipashchita personalities, they see Krishna everywhere. And is described as Karmadhyakshah Sarvabhuta Adivasa. Sarvabhuta Adivasa. Adivasa means, Vasa means to reside. There's a pastime in Padyavali, which is an anthology of different verses about Krishna, about Krishna's holy name, about Radharani, about the devotees, about the process of devotional service, etc. It's all an anthology that Rupa Goswami compiled. In that, there is one beautiful anecdote or instance. And this is also given in Nectar of Devotion. I forget what that quality is, but it's an expertise of Krishna that he can take one word and give it different meanings. So one time, Krishna came in disguise. And Srimati Radharani was with Lalita and Vishakha Devis, and she asked, "What is your vasa?" Meaning, where are you from? Where is your house? So the word vasa has different meanings. One word is fragrance. And so Krishna describes something about the fragrance of his body, but actually is glorifying the fragrance of Radharani's body. So she laughs. The whole idea is to get her to laugh and smile. She says, no, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, what is your vasa? Your residence, where do you belong? Where are you coming from? He said, oh, vasa. Vasa also means cloth. So he glanced at her dress. Oh, this, how beautiful this cloth is. And she says, no, that's not what I'm asking. So then he says, where is, oh, that vasa. Oh, you mean where I stay? Like that. So karma here is described as bhuta adivasaha, that he lives in the heart of all the living entities. And he is adhyaksha. Adhyaksha means supervisor. He's the witness. He sits in everyone's heart and is witnessing what the conditioned living entity is doing. And the witnessing is important because by that witnessing, he awards karmic reactions, but is also waiting for the conditioned living entity to turn towards him and recognize his presence, which he often is the most neglected personality as Paramatma. So he's Guda, he's sitting there quietly. And he's all eager to reveal himself, but depends on the sincerity of the person, whether or not they want to know him. And so the devotees here are nicely glorifying him. And is described, the Lord is a witness as well as the living force. yet he is transcendental to all material qualities. Although he is residing within the, you could say, the body made of the modes of nature, he is not affected by the modes of nature. Unlike the conditioned soul, who when residing within the body made of the modes of nature, is fully influenced by those modes of nature. So those are some thoughts about the prayers. Any comments you'd like to add? Question?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
When you earlier was referring to when souls are in the heavenly planets and they come down to the earthly realm again, is it just like a group of earthly planets, or is it just one earth?
Oh well, that is what this section is about. You could say planet Earth, although it says Bhumandala. Bhumandala has other systems. You know, the solar system is here. So generally we say Bhumandala as the solar system. You can also call it planet Earth. Either way, it's this realm in which karma is generated. In the other realms, karma is extinguished or repleted. You exhaust it. Yeah. That's not more than one earth planet. We shouldn't say it like that. There's only one earth planet. But we say earthly realm. For all practical purposes, let's just take it as the earthly planet. Because Jambudvipa and all other dvipas are here, we consider it to be an earth planet. Yes? What is your name, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, my name is Curtis.
Curtis.
So, is that to say that it's impossible to become Krishna conscious from any other planet?
No. It is described that even the residents of higher planets are eager to take birth on earthly realm to participate in the Harinam Sankirtan.
But you do have to come back to the earthly realm first.
For most persons who are not spiritually advancing, they have to come back to the earth, the planet. However, certain persons can move up the planetary systems in progressive stages of development of consciousness. However, without becoming Krishna conscious, one cannot get out of this material entrapment. On different realms, the processes that they apply are different according to that realm. In the Maharloka, for example, they perform certain sacrifices. In Tapaloka, they're all into meditation. And there's a very wonderful book called Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's a three volume, that talks about all these realms and a person's progression through all of it. And he meets different persons, how they're trying to worship Krishna. And yet, his attraction is to chanting of the holy name. So it's not that they're not Krishna conscious. The way Lord Chaitanya taught us to become Krishna conscious, to access Krishna in his Vrindavan form. Vrindavan form means that form of Krishna that is the most intimate, is through the Harinam process that we have on this realm now, because Lord Chaitanya appeared here. There are other ways of becoming God conscious, but it's not the same sense of intimacy.
Prabhu, you are talking about Atma Tattva and comparing this thing to the mechanical way of getting easily trapped. Can you explain it a bit further, elaborate about Atma Tattva?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Atma Tattva, you're talking about Atma Tattva. And the second point, you talk about how we can easily trap in this mechanical world. You're talking something about that. We can easily trap.
So I remember making those two statements. That, well, the word tattva means reality or truth. So atma tattva means trying to understand the truth of our existence, as to who we are. So there are only two possibilities. Either we are trying to live on the basis of or on the platform of the soul, or we're living a conditioned life. And it seems like the default is we're living a conditioned life. The natural, I say natural, the existing force of material nature carries a person into living a conditioned life. So much so that the forces of material nature almost take away, it seems like, the soul's capacity to turn away from all of this. That's why we find ourselves helpless. We're bound by the material energy. We're finding ourselves helpless. Although it's there within us to become transcendental. No, I shouldn't say become. To understand our transcendental nature. Right? But the reason we don't is too busy. The modes of material nature, or material nature in general, keeps us very busy. Very busy in some things that there's a very, very, really not so critical. Ahara, Nidra, Bhaya, Maithuna. Basically those four in some combination or the other, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. We were kept very busy for these. Mostly mating, but very busy. So then the person doesn't have time or interest or even the strength to think about Atma Tattva. So that association is necessary to give us the strength here that takes the striking of the wood for the fire to come out. That association is necessary to bring out the desire for knowing the truth about the soul. If association is not there, don't we all have that experience? When the association is not there, that fire goes from flame to spark to little something. But in association, it's nicely fanned and spark grows, no? So then the association is necessary to keep becoming more and more inspired to find out who we really are, in the sense that to live on the platform of the soul, away from the influences of the modes of nature. And so when modes of nature are bringing about in front of us all the different permutations possible, right? That we don't get disturbed by those things. For example, criticism, or excessive or appreciation or glorification, or profit, or a loss, or victory, or defeat. So Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita so many times that a person who is a sthita prajna is not swayed by the dualities that the material nature presents. Prajna sthitaha, that the person's consciousness is fixed on what? That vyavasayatmika buddhi. The transcendental intelligence is saying, don't get distracted. Stay focused. And we lose focus, then we fall into being carried by the modes of nature here and there. Right? We've read these references so many times that the karma is like little twigs on the riding on the waves of a river, that the twigs come together and then by the waves they're separated. Because the twigs don't say, I'm going to swim upstream or I'm going to go that way. They just go with the flow. So becoming or progressing on the path of Atma Tattva is to declare that I'm not going to go with the flow of the material energy. I'm going to go with the flow of the previous acharyas, Satovrite, as we say. And that takes work. That takes that extra push from our side. Because you let go and you're carried away. So that extra push is we have this our sincerity to give us that push. Yeah, I want to be sincere, genuinely finding out. How does Krishna operate? And there are many distractions every day. Someone said something, someone did not say something. Hundreds of things. It's too cold, it's too hot, you're too hungry, you're too tired, you're too sleepy, today is a good day. Something, different things. Nirnam Santi Sahasra Saha. Apashyatam Atma Tattva Griheshu Graha Medina. Azad Jai Jagannath.
That's okay. You can answer this question later if you feel it necessary, because it's kind of, it might be to seem on the controversial side.
Oh, I just came back.
Yeah, we wanted to make you feel at home.
I know. Thank you.
The question is regarding on the point of vipassitaha you were describing quite elaborately on the necessity of jnana chakshu, and which is the authority of guru, sadhu, and shastra. My question comes in light of a particular GBC resolution that was just passed, Resolution 303. So I don't know if you've read it yet.
I only know 377 from India, but I don't know what's 303. You know what is 377?
No, I don't.
In India, the Supreme Court passed a judgment according to Article 377 that it is illegal to be gay, lesbian, or...
Oh, yeah, we saw that on the news.
If someone is, then they will be arrested.
Yeah.
So what's 303?
No, this is 303. It concerns our understanding of the guru function within ISKCON. So if you haven't read it, it might not be fair for you to actually give an answer.
Yeah,
But just I'll present a question. You can perhaps look at it and give an answer later. One statement in Resolution 303 says that although this is not exhaustive, it is conclusive. And conclusive.
Conclusive.
Although not exhaustive or thorough, it is conclusive. And the statements regarding our understanding of the Guru Tattva, like the ontological position, is very much lacking in terms of the Guru Sadhu Shastra principle. There's like a couple of quotes from Prabhupada, you know, some letters here and there, nothing from the Shastras whatsoever. And every leader in ISKCON, you know, leader, temple president, congregational leader, and so on, is supposed to make everyone aware of this resolution, you know, and so on. That's what it says. So, and I'm also writing Maharaj about this also. We've been having some discussions. I'm trying to understand how do we, if it's lacking, in terms of what we just heard, the necessity of a Guru Sadhu Shastra understanding, and when it appears at least that it's lacking in that area, how is it that we can have the confidence to, you know, let's say, toe the party line, as it were, when it's lacking in our basic epistemological standard for what is truth? So, like I said, it's a little bit of a hot topic.
No, I don't mind the hot topic.
Yeah. You might have to look at it to really...
Yeah, I haven't even seen what it talks about.
Yeah.
So if I have some time, then I'm happy to have a dialogue.
Yeah. Okay.
I really feel at home now. Siddharth?
So we are reading Jayavadharma these days instead of Bhagavad Gita in the evenings. And,
okay.
So instead of using the word self-realization,
can you move the mic a little?
Instead
away?
Of using the word self-realization, which we use almost every day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses the Sanskrit word swarup siddhi. Swarup means self, siddhi means realization. So that actually brought an interesting perspective, at least to me and a couple of other people. When we think of self-realization, we think of more like a Brahman concept, becoming, understanding that I'm the soul, not the body. But swarup siddhi is a term closer to our philosophy.
You would like now that we all use swarup siddhi instead?
Huh?
You would prefer that we use swarup siddhi
instead? No. So, I feel that in my practice at least, most of the things other than in the prayers, etc., my focus is always about why the material world is a miserable place and why I'm not this body and why I'm soul. Just like Prabhuji was saying, we should develop a direct relationship with Prabhupada. Similarly,
okay.
It's not part of it. Yeah. So is there an encouragement to develop a direct relationship with Krishna also? Not in terms of, I understand the philosophy of being servant, but at the same time having a particular mood of relationship with Krishna or Vishnu. That's not much talked about, and that's sometimes also discouraged, saying that you might be going
stepping
way
over.
Ahead of your league. So, what is a good time for a devotee in ISKCON to think about it?
I don't know if I can answer that. What is the time? Yeah.
We have been reading Jayavadharma because of the novel format,
uh-huh.
So it makes it a little easier to digest. We have not gotten anywhere close to any discussion about Swarup Siddhi in the Jayavadharma. Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses the word self-realization quite a bit before he gets into discussion about Swarup Siddhi,
right.
Which is a particular stage of realization identified with bhava. So we're nowhere near that discussion.
Okay,
I think
good.
He's just read ahead. And yeah. So
okay, let me cut through all of that.
Yeah, so just to give it a little context.
It doesn't matter this term, that term. Self-realization is not, if I understand that I'm soul, that somehow I missed the train or missed the bus on this. Our acharyas describe that the completeness of realization is to understand that we are servants of Krishna. That completeness of realization will not come unless that there is this, what we say, simultaneous oneness and difference between us and Krishna. That's how the nectar of devotion starts, actually. So, you can use this term, that term. Self-realization is a little easier to use, but doesn't matter. You can use swarup siddhi, fine. But that's the understanding, that we are servants of Krishna because we are parts and parcels of Krishna. Now, can we develop a relationship with Krishna? Yeah, that's why we're all here, to develop our relationship with Krishna. No one says you can't have a relationship with Krishna, Prabhu. You're stepping over others. That's no. In fact, throughout Bhagavatam, the interaction between the devotee and Krishna is direct. Dhruva, Prahlad Maharaj, etc. They're all offering prayers to Krishna. Because in our line, no one's going to say you can't develop a relationship with Krishna. Doesn't make sense. Though the means by which it's developed is through service to the devotees. That attracts Krishna's attention very quickly. But it doesn't mean we don't have a relationship with Krishna. We do. We should develop. So I'm not sure that I agree that it's that we are discouraged from developing a relationship with Krishna.
Rasa, isn't it? So it appears that his point, his perspective is when he wants to inquire regarding rasa tattva, the truths regarding one's relationship with Krishna, be it in the stage of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsal, or Madhurya, those types of questions, it appears to be discouraged. Is this what you're saying?
He was, he went to, he approached his guru and he said, I would like to serve Guru, I would like to serve Krishna in the form of a gopa. And the other person said, I would want to assist Lalita. So the guru said, hey, you're a Lalita Manjari. And then he gave Harinam Diksha. I found that somewhat interesting.
Attractive also. I'm sure.
May I say something in relation to what he said?
Please.
First of all, in our particular Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage, yes, there is an emphasis on the reawakening of one's relationship with Krishna. As Nityananda Prabhu was saying, we're here to cultivate our relationship with Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Sanatana Goswami, at one point Srila Sanatana Goswami, portraying the mood of a conditioned soul, said, my dear Lord, Kayami, who am I? Kenamar tapatrai. Why am I being afflicted by the threefold miseries? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very systematic answers to Srila Sanatana Goswami's question. And he first established Jivera Sarup Hoy Krishnera Nityadas Krishnera Tatasta Shakti Ved Abed Prakash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it is a constitutional identity, swarup, of every living entity to be the eternal servant of Krishna. Tatastha Shakti. We are Tatastha Shakti. We're energetic emanations from Krishna, inconceivably one and simultaneously different. So by constitution, every living entity has an eternal relationship with Krishna. That rasa is lying dormant in the heart. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakitam vridhi satyata. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that by performing bhakti, sadhana bhakti, gradually one approaches the higher stages of bhakti and then there's divine revelation. So regarding rasas, every living entity has a very specific individual ras with the Lord. Maybe Dasya ras, maybe Sakya ras, maybe Vatsalya ras, maybe Madhurya ras. But that relationship is, in our conditioned state, dormant. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example, within a matchstick, fire is there. But one must extract the fire by striking the match. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Shravanadi Shujitate Kareye Udoy Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. That love of Krishna, Ras, is already there. It's lying dormant. But we cannot artificially awaken that. There's a systematic process. And Srila Prabhupada would discourage devotees from prematurely trying to enter to some of these higher realms of bhakti or Krishna consciousness. It is our right by constitution to be situated in our original relationship with the Lord. But there's a systematic process by which that comes out. So whenever Srila Prabhupada heard stories or incidents of devotees discussing rasa tattva and sometimes imagining, oh, my qualities are like this, I must be in this rasa, I must be in that rasa. No. Rasa, or one's siddha deha, one's spiritual body, has nothing to do with our material qualities, personality, bodies. One may have female form in this lifetime, but a different form in the spiritual world. So bhakti is the means by which that relationship is awakened. And bhakti is generally divided into three very distinct classifications: sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti naturally means executing the rules and regulations of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, sadhus, shastra, etc. Within sadhana bhakti, there's different points of expansion up to raga bhakti, where one is relishing, hearing, chanting Krishna's name, fame, glories, pastimes. That is raga bhakti, but still within sadhana bhakti. And then beyond that is bhava bhakti, which also has different stages. And then when bhava bhakti, bhava means emotion, emotional attachment, emotional love. And when that is fully mature, then prema bhakti. So we should not make the process of devotional service very cheap. This is what the Appa Sampradaya, so-called followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have done. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the majority of his associates left this world, so many deviant groups cropped up. And our charges have analyzed that there are 13 deviant groups. Garanga Nagaris, the Owls, the Bows, the Kartabajas, the Nedas, Jati Gosai, Smartas, many. And they wear tilak, they wear tulsi neck beads, they have sikhas, and they incorporate many, many abominable, illicit things in the name of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the name of self-realization. So we must be very, very careful. Srila Prabhupada would often quote the verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. First of all, faith must be there. Faith that if I execute the process of Krishna consciousness, I will become successful. That faith leads one to the association of devotees. By associating with the devotees, one learns the techniques of rendering regulated devotional service, sadhana bhakti, and then bhajana kriya, then anardita nivritti. The heart becomes free from unwanted things. If we're still struggling individually with so many materialistic qualities like lust, anger, greed, we're not fit to really try to understand some of these higher principles of devotional service. It is our right, but we're not qualified. Just like if you may be a teacher, you may know advanced stages of mathematics, But if you're teaching on an elementary school level, the children will not be able to understand these higher things. So there's a process. So we must, in the course of studying the Shastra, in the association devotees must be very, very careful. Make sure we're guided properly and we do not concoct.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? 8:44, you gotta stop.
Today is the disappearance of Srila Lochandas Thakur.
Oh, okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Lochandas Thakur.